The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Welcome to Up on Taconic, a reoccurring podcast that explores the world of Taconic High School from students, staff, school programs, and all the great things that happen here each day. And welcome to Up on Taconic. I am your host for today's episode, Reed. Today we are joined by engineer Ricardo Morales, Director of Public Works and Utilities for the city of Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and Miss Marina Dominguez, artist and photographer.
Hello, hello.
Hello, thanks for having us here.
No problem. So, in today's episode, we're going to be talking about Hispanic Heritage Month and their respective career paths and maybe some other stuff. So, first of all, how's everybody's days going?
Pretty good. So happy to be here. It's my first time visiting the school, so thank you.
I always like coming into Taconic High. It's an amazing place. And today, I got the opportunity to participate in the fire alarm, the fire drill. So that was a
that was fun.
Plus, yes. I survived. Went out, went back in. They counted me, so...
I wish you were informed of this earlier. I'm sorry I didn't tell you, but yeah, it was planned out. Fire department came for this whole thing.
And yeah. Well, that makes it very real. It's important to do that.
Really useful, right?
Yeah, it's going to help us in the long term, just in case something does happen. Luckily, yeah. I was told that nobody has died from a fire in a school for a very long time, so that's still a good thing to have still. But it's always good to, you know,
have definitely
add that in your mindset. So, is there anything interesting going on that you guys would like to share?
So many things going on.
Yeah. Well, this is like the third time I see Marina Maru this week. So we're more and more working together. You know, really on the community activities, especially in our downtown. So I'm really excited for sharing this platform with her. So with us in Public Works, there's a lot going on, and we're never, you know, resting. So it's busy.
This is an ongoing thing. So yeah, it's there are so many good things coming and going on as well. And we're excited for what is coming probably next year. We're going to have a lot of results of the work that we were doing the last couple, 3-4 years, I think. Hmm. So that's good.
It's great.
Especially for the city, downtown Pittsfield in general. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's important to recognize that nothing happens from, mm-hmm. you know, overnight. Mm-hmm. So working long hours and long days and weeks and months, when something comes together, it's always very, very good and rewarding.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a process.
All right. Thank you for sharing. So I'd like to talk to you guys about your respective career paths, if you don't mind. What's your career and what is it about?
Well, I'll go ahead and start. I'm in public works, mm-hmm. right? And recently someone asked me, what do you have to study to be like the director? You're the director, right? And I was like, yeah, director of public works. What do you study for that? Mm. And it was, you know, it was easy to answer, but because, you know, that's exactly what I did, and I have the experience of having gone through that. Mm-hmm. But it's also, I had to think about it because there's many possibilities for careers to end up in the way, you know, as a director of public works. Hmm. So specifically for me, I started studying civil engineering. And after that, I was, you know, hoping to do some work in infrastructure like every civil engineer does. Mm-hmm. And in a sense, I ended up working with that in construction management. one thing led to another, and you know, moved from where I was born in Puerto Rico in San Juan, and I ended up in the Berkshires. And 8 years later, I'm working in the public sector as the city engineer for Pittsfield, and you know, just as things happen, my boss, the commissioner of public works at the time, retired, and one thing led to another, and I'm, you know, appointed as a director, as a commissioner, and that was in 2020 in February, just as we were being shut down for everything. So it was a, you know, you can say it either way, it was either great or bad, starting in this department in public works as the pandemic was starting. So
COVID was a rough time for everybody.
Yes, so it was challenging, and we were all doing different things, usually different than what normally would be required. But we kept, you know, everything in place and kept going on. And now it's, you know, 2025, and we have a strong department, and we're working in infrastructure. And this is, I don't imagine myself in any other role right now. It's very rewarding, and I love it.
That's good to hear. What about you?
So, long story. I would say I start in the field of the human resources, labor relationships in Argentina more than 12 years ago. And then I moved to the Berkshires 9 years ago, going to be 20 years next year. And yeah, when I came here, I was realizing that I didn't want to get to that area anymore. I really wanted to do something more meaningful in the sense of connecting with people and supporting people in different ways, more in a personal level. So I went to, well, I actually started studying psychology here in the Berkshires. And I got my associate degree from Berkshire Community College. I'm super grateful for that institution here and all the things that they do for our community. Super grateful. And then I'm trying to finish my bachelor's degree at UMass. I also study life coaching, and I was trying to use my bilingual skills in that sense the last couple of years to support immigrants in the area, mostly business owners and also artists, because I, with the process, you know, of coming to a new country, I also found on myself different things that I didn't know that I like art, music, dancing, photography. So I become a photographer the last couple of years. I didn't know that that exists in me before. I always telling people that I was born again here 9 years ago. So, and actually not 35. Yeah. And yeah, and that's what I'm doing. I have been doing that the last couple of years. And that is how we crossed paths with Ricardo, because I started working for the city, Downtown Pittsfield Inc., and also the city of Pittsfield in a way to connect the community and bring more diversity to the tables to talk about things that our immigrant community needs. So, yeah, and basically doing that, supporting immigrant artists and also immigrant business owners in the area to develop their businesses, their careers, and, just supporting them with what they need and trying to facilitate these conversations that we are needing to make a better place to live in Pittsfield, right?
That's great.
Yeah.
You mentioned you went to UMass. Which UMass did you go to?
Amherst. Yeah.
Amherst?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Shoot, I think that answers one of the questions I had. So does it affect our day-to-day lives and what you two do?
Yeah, I think that it's a lot of work.
In many ways.
Yeah, in many ways. I think that we really need to have a balance in between personal life and our work with the community. We are all the time with a lot of people, I think. And sometimes it feels that we have a responsibility on our shoulders. Well, I will speak for myself. But yeah, it's a lot of responsibility to bring to the table different needs and bring the voices to the tables that usually are not heard. So yeah, it's important. We need to take care of ourselves a lot in that sense, because we are all the time in a constant... There are so many needs, right? But at the same time, things are happening, the context is changing all the time, and we need to be always on top of everything. Yeah, it's a lot.
It's definitely a weight on our shoulders. I will say we and ours, because I share the same sentiment. From Public Works, you can imagine if you know, we have everything you interact with on a daily basis, you are going to be exposed to something that we deal with, from the water you drink to the, you know, when you flush the toilet, when you step out the door with, you know, walking on your sidewalk, or you're driving, or you're using a bicycle, crossing the street, dealing with our streets, our street network, active mobility, street lighting, trees. We touch everything in that sense. Everything in our built environment has to, in a public sense, has to go through the Public Works Department. We have multiple divisions that deal with each and every one of these things. You know, the one big thing that comes to also to mind, but I shouldn't forget about mentioning this, is your trash and recycling. Right, it's also part of this. So we're inside your homes, in a way, where, you know, the interaction does not stop at, say, City Hall or our office, or when we're on the street and you see us. We're interacting with every single resident in Pittsfield in a very direct way. And one thing I like to do and to steer the department in this direction is getting the level of interaction down to the more personable and in the individual, not only individual, but individual within the community. So we like to think of our projects as also community service. So we are not just delivering a product or improving your commute or improving your walk or making sure that you're getting drinking water. We're trying to do it in a more equitable way. We're trying to get, you know, more services in an efficient manner, better bang for your buck, in a sense, right? So, and to do that, we need a lot of support from the community, and we also have to show the community that we are there with you, right? So we have multiple projects going on. We have projects that deal with equity in the West Side neighborhood. Mm-hmm. We have the West Street project going on right now that's going to bring slower traffic to that area and prevent future collisions in a, you know, of the deadly kind. Unfortunately, we have had some of that in that stretch of road that precipitated these type of projects. And then, you know, on the trash and recycling, we interact, as I mentioned, we had a year ago, we switched to a different way of dealing with trash and recycling. Mm-hmm. I call it a recycling overhaul or a solid waste management overhaul. We introduced specific size toters. That's gonna, you know, decrease, and it has shown it is accurate. It's gonna decrease how much trash our community puts out on a household basis. Oh. So we have reduced trash, increased recycling. That in turn reduces our costs. It in turn reduces our burden on the taxpayer. So those are, you know, some of the projects that we have been doing and or currently doing. And we have some future projects that I would love to get to do. And there's a lot of work still to be done to get them, you know, shovel on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen the traffic on Lakeway before, Lakeway Drive?
Lakeway, yeah. Lakeway Drive.
It's pretty horrible down there. I mean, I live off of Lakeway, and walking across the street sometimes can get really bad, especially immediately after school.
Yeah, I mean, Lakeway Drive right now is going to have a lot of traffic because of the work we're doing on Valentine Road right here outside of the, you know, we're doing installing a better water main so that it's not breaking every 3 months and we have to tear the road apart every time that happens. So that's detouring traffic. We also had Lakeway with some detours because of the Pex Road Bridge, which was finished this summer.
Oh, yeah.
Or just earlier. So, yeah, I can see how you had a lot of increased traffic on Lakeway because of these multiple detours. But luckily, you know, once these are done, the traffic will come down to a normal level.
Hopefully. It's the time of the year to do the work. So
Yeah. This is that time of year. Construction season.
It's warm out and it's easier to work in versus winter where you can't really get much done.
Yeah. The temperatures do not allow it.
Yeah. And usually fall, I think, can sometimes be a problem sometimes with the leaves. But other than that, I believe summer and spring are definitely the best times to do it. So what's your career? I already asked that. Sorry. sorry, I'm getting a little off track here. How did you get up to this point? Are there certain things you guys did for you to get your job, such as college, coming from a different career before, and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so I guess we can go into a little bit more detail. As I mentioned before, I was in civil engineering. Mm-hmm. So before we go there, I went to a high school in Puerto Rico in San Juan, the Central High. It was called, my grandfather went there, and that's how he called it Central High in English. As you know, in Puerto Rico, it's mostly in Spanish, if not at all, you know, all of it. When I went there, it was called the Central de Artes Visuales, the Central Visual Arts Central High School. So I went to a visual arts school for high school. Similar to, you know, how this is vocational in Taconic over there, that was, you had to pick specific visual arts and develop that and
set the career. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I did ceramics. I have not done anything with that since graduating, but it taught me a lot of things, you know, that going through that school, I have an artistic eye, I want to say, I'm not using it, but it helped, you know, visualizing things. And going into engineering school in Puerto Rico, the Polytechnic University of Puerto Rico, that's where I made, you know, I took my bachelor's in civil engineering. And that was, you know, I loved going to school. I learned a lot. I kind of always meant to continue in school. I wanted to do more on the infrastructure and city planning and all that stuff. Didn't happen. I wanted to make some money. So I started working in construction management. That company took us, me and my wife, essentially, just before, you know, we got married, and then we moved up here working with that company called Consigli Construction. So we did work in Berkshire County with them. And that was in Pittsfield. I was living in Pittsfield in Berkshire County. I was here for about 8 years before I decided to jump into the public sector. And I saw an opportunity with the city, as I said, with the city engineering. And it was bringing me back to the same path I was already on in college, where it was more about transportation infrastructure, city planning, and I loved it. And, you know, not looking back right now.
From my side, I mentioned a little bit that I'm coming from Argentina, so I studied at the University of Buenos Aires. I did my career there, and then when I moved here, I really wanted to change my pathway in there. But the difference, it was the language. I needed to, I knew English. I was studying English for so many years in Argentina, but it was not the same to do a whole new career in a different language. So I needed to level up my English and then start college again. And that was that was a tough decision, but I knew that I needed to do in order to get better here and have the experiences that I was looking for to support other people. So, yeah, I think that mostly changing the career, it was a good decision, and also improving my English and immerse myself in the language, in the culture, and that that was a good decision because that made me to be to this point where I am in the middle of immigrants and our community, immigrant community, and the locals, right? I'm in the middle trying to pass information, trying to pass needs, trying to support, and also trying to bring or create spaces where we all can share our culture and also have spaces where artists, immigrant artists also can be up there and have a more diverse public art as well. I'm working a lot in public art right now. So everybody can have their own spaces and enjoy and support each other, but at the same time, share. And I think that it's all about sharing how to be this bridge in between two different cultures and go back and forth all the time. But I think that, yeah, immerse myself and put a lot of effort, time, energy into the language. It was key.
I know my dad, I'm just going to use him as an example here. He always regretted not going to college. Like after I believe he dropped out of college, then he went immediately into a different business. He always regretted that. And he went back recently to, what was it? BCC.
Nice.
And now he's really happy right now that he's doing that. And I'm glad he's happy with it. It's a great thing.
I think BCC
is
a great,
amazing.
Yeah, it's a great resource in our community.
We had a really good experiences with BCC. From my perspective of being an immigrant, having a different language, I think that BCC, they are doing a really good job by providing different information and opportunities for the community. And especially for non-traditional students, like for example, your dad, like it's really hard to balance life, an adult life, and changing, a culture, language, and the possibility of going to college or coming back to college. It's hard, and I think that they are doing a really good job by supporting the community in that sense.
All right, so let me just rethink where I was. What have been some of the roadblocks that you've faced along the way when getting to this point that you are in life right now?
I think that from my side, I would say the emotional part, it's really heavy. Most of us, we are coming here and we are alone. We don't have our families. We don't have friends. Everything is new. That is hard. And I always think that it's not for everybody. We need to be mentally ready and sometimes physically ready because when we are coming here as immigrants, sometimes we are doing works because of the language or any other reasons, works that we don't want to do or maybe they are really heavy to do. And we need to be ready in a mental way and also physically and being strong. The resilience, I think that it's key in order to get to all the goals that we want to get to and accomplish. It's an everyday work. Mentally, we need to be mentally prepared for everything. So many things can happen, and it's hard. And every day, it's a war.
Well, it's a dangerous place.
Every day it's something. So it's not for everybody.
Yeah, I think resiliency needs to be one of your biggest things to improve if you want to do something like this. From my perspective, leaving friends and family behind, yes, coming up here from Puerto Rico with new career, new, you know, with my wife, mm-hmm. And starting from zero essentially was a challenge. Struggling with our networks, your safety net, mm-hmm. right? Your group of trusted over the years developed friendships are not there. So that is definitely a challenge when you move up here. Career-wise, I think it's all impacted, right? Whether it's direct or indirectly, carry that to your role, to your job, wherever that is, and you need to find some sort of balance and some sort of way of making that work if you want to be able to succeed or be able to move ahead. Mm-hmm. I think there was definitely some challenging times that I will say are, you know, related to barriers that we grow up with, mm-hmm. That maybe not everyone in general see mm-hmm. coming. So overcoming those, but always trying to, you know, look at the bright side and trying to persevere, be consistent and being positive, I guess. And having someone going through all of this with you is very important. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I'm lucky that I had that person. I have that person still. My family has grown here, so we have that circle has grown, certainly, and it continues to grow with more and more friendships that we make along the years. So it's regrowing that aspect of anyone's life is a tough thing to do.
That's great. Yeah,
I think that mental health is important mm-hmm. in that yeah. sense, and having your family or your group of friends chose family, right? That it's supporting you. It's important. And always we aware about that it's important to take care of our mental health as we are taking care of our physical body.
Absolutely.
That's key.
Yeah, it's a, you know, I'm going to say this sounds a little weird, but it's basically I think you said it, you were born again. You're 9 years old now, yeah. Maru. In a way, it's true. It's like you are starting from zero and you're not that same person. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because of, you know, I moved here in my 20s and, you know, I had to start again in different everything.
Yeah, and maybe we learned so many different things in that culture before, and here is everything is different, so we need to relearn things, mm-hmm. put things that we learned before on the side in order to create this new life.
I think there's levels to it, too. Coming from Argentina has to be very, very different than coming from Puerto Rico mm-hmm. in many levels.
Oh, yeah.
Culturally, they're, like, closer, Puerto Rico and Argentina, but there's different things that play in there that allow it to be maybe a little more easier, but still a challenge.
Yeah, and I think that the other thing, I don't know if you experienced that before, but I am experiencing that all the time. It's that in my mind, and maybe it's not a real thing, but all the time it's there, like you're an outsider and you need to make up for that. So all the things that I'm doing, I need to prove that I deserve to be here. And I need to prove that, yeah, I can do it as you can do it.
I bet there's a lot of people that can relate to you guys out there in terms of that. I mean, we have a lot of immigrants all over the United States, and they can definitely relate to that. They think they're outsiders, but eventually over time, they think, yep, we're citizens here, and we deserve to stay. And that's exactly what you guys deserve. You guys deserve to stay here. You guys are not outsiders anymore.
And then that is this other part of all the work that we are doing. It's because we love this place and we want this place to be better for us, for our family, but also for the rest of the community. And I think that love is the drive that make us do things all the time as well. So it's important.
Was there, if this comes off little wrong, then just call me out. Was there like a reason that you guys moved to Pittsfield? If it's personal, you guys don't have to say that.
Oh, I think that's a great question. I sort of mentioned it before, but wasn't specific enough, I guess. The company I was working for had work in mm-hmm. this area. So they took me over here to check out the jobs, the projects, and I saw Pittsfield as that like center of everything mm-hmm. in this little area, which is, you know, it's still a small city, 43,000 residents in a 126,000 resident county. It's a big chunk. It's a third, but it's feels large enough to pass out as a, you know, as a city. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in a city. I needed that. So we fell in love with Pittsfield and with the county itself, mm-hmm. like Berkshire County. We liked the rural aspects, and we also mm-hmm. liked having that ability to just be in an urban environment. And I've always, I think having an urban environment is so important for many reasons. And we can talk about that in other times, I guess. But, you know, we as humanity, we need this urban environment to be able to survive because we're many.
Yeah, half the time people think Pittsfield is just like a town, but when you get into North Street, it's like, yeah, that's a city.
Right.
I mean, it's a perfect mix for most people where if they want to be like in some sort of like, I guess, I wouldn't say countryside in this case, more like a little town type thing, then Pittsfield is technically kind of like that. But if you want to be in like a somewhat populated city as well, Pittsfield is also that.
Yeah.
It's pretty much just
it fits those two things. And it's really close to a lot of much larger urban centers mm-hmm. of the Northeast. So it's kind of a really good place geographically as well.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I think that it's a great combination in between nature and city per se.
We also don't get that much natural
disasters here. The ones that we are coming from big cities, I think that this is the perfect balance. How I feel it.
Yeah.
We have nature around and we have this small city. But mm-hmm. one of the things that I love the most from Pittsfield is the community and the diversity of the community that we have. I never experienced before in my life in 26 years. It was 26 when I moved. The sense of community. Hmm. And I never had that in Argentina, and I think that was one of the biggest things that drew me to decide to, okay, I want to live here, and I want to stay here, and I want to build my life, my family here, this sense of community and how I was feeling around the nature. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Is there sometimes like some homesickness with that?
Not really. I feel like... No, I feel that since even before when I was visiting for years this area, and it was my dream. Mm. My brother, one of my brothers, he moved here when I was 11 years old, and I always knew since that I wanted to be here. And I don't know, I'm not sure why, but then when I started visiting the place, this is my home. This is what I want to have for the rest of my life. That can change. Things can change for sure. But that is what I was feeling the last 10 years, I would say, or more. Yeah.
That's great. So back onto the topic of jobs. Sorry. Can you describe to me what your career is like to the listeners, like in a day-to-day, what did I say, day-to-day basis already? Shoot.
No. We can definitely do that. it's tough because I probably have to say, let me describe you the mm-hmm. eight types of days I can have. Right? It's always different. It's always up and down, different levels of stress, different levels of complexity. But it's usually dealing with, you know, we have multiple operations happening at the same time, multiple projects happening at the same time. So it's dealing with schedules, dealing with meetings and working problems. solving issues, dealing with the community, putting out messages, controlling what we want the community to experience, right? We want to communicate the right things so that we can have that message be clear, because the wrong type of communication can send mixed signals and misinformation. Uh-huh. So that's a lot of my work is around communicating. Mm-hmm. So I like to jump in on radio with Morning Drive or with live, Slater and Marjo, and talk with them and talk with the community in that way. Dealing with, going to the senior center. There's a lot of what I do that is really education and communication. And I think it's one of the most important parts of my responsibilities, my role. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, at the end of the day, is infrastructure and solving these issues that happen from a day-to-day basis. And how do we move forward and continue that forward progress, mm-hmm. In the work. So yeah, it's lots of emails, lots of meetings, lots of talking and meeting and emails and talking and repeat.
That sounds extremely stressful.
That's what we need to do. See, I feel the same. A lot of meetings and phone calls and emails. I like the part of being one-on-one with someone and check about needs and how I can connect them with different resources and making the connections. And then there is this other part for me that it's more artistic, that it's photography, and maybe I can be in an event taking photos and then taking those photos and putting on social media or working with different newspapers in the area to put out there the message in a visual way, right? Mm. But yeah, it's a lot of communication, personal relationships all the time, in contact with people, and I love that. And I think that's really important, how we can create. We are a community, right? Mm-hmm. And if we are not connected between all of us, we cannot get to the point that we want to get to. So it's an everyday work of connecting, but in a real way, in a really deep way, mm-hmm. For people to, they need to know that we are here for them. And we are creating real relationships in that case, yeah.
All right. So is there any fun parts or memories that you guys would like to share about, your jobs or, I don't know, just jobs in general, I guess I'll say?
Yeah, I think I will never forget the first sidewalk we installed after I started as the city engineer. Mm-hmm. It was honestly otherworldly, the feeling was surreal because I did not expect much of it. It's just a sidewalk, and I've installed multiple many. I've been in construction for many years. But we finished the work, and we're there measuring, making sure everything is in line. And right next to us, there's a daycare. And all the kids come out, and mm-hmm. they didn't come out alone. They came out with their their teachers and they were so excited, and they were excited for a piece of sidewalk. And I was just thinking, this is amazing. they're seeing feeling. Yeah, and not only we were doing that sidewalk, it was a crosswalk. The sidewalk was an extension to get to a crosswalk and now these kids were able to cross the street at a crosswalk to get to a park. Mm-hmm. And they were so excited about that. and it was so amazing to see that in them that I will mm-hmm. never forget. And it makes me think about the importance of infrastructure and making those connections for everyone else to use, especially the 5-year-olds that mm-hmm. will need to use these around here. So, yeah, I'll never forget that.
Yeah, for me, it's kind of similar, but I think that every single time that I can see with the process, with the years, you know, to see a business owner succeeding and they are doing what they want to do and enjoying the process as well, or getting a grant, you know, a grant to, I don't know, redesign their website, redesign their front store, just getting resources. I think that it feels really good in my body. I remember with public art, we did four panels mural of 173 kids from Morningside.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, the YMCA. Wow. Yes, I took that day. In 2 days, I took like 3,000 photos of them in the schools. And then when we saw the result, they were seeing each other. And on the wall, that was like, oh my gosh, this is so great. And and just see the impact of something that it feels so small with all the things that we are always doing, but how important it is for them to feel that they belong to this community, right? And, oh my gosh, I'm there. That's me. Yeah. And it's just great to see how we can, build that sense of community all the time with those kind of things that maybe for other people, they are really small, but for us and for our communities are really important. Yeah.
All right. So, we're going to be going into a quick break, and we will be back shortly. And we are back on Up on Taconic, asking some questions to our guests, Ricardo and Marina, about, and we're now going to be asking them about Hispanic Heritage Month, since it is that time of the year. So welcome back. We are going to be asking this question. So what is Hispanic Heritage Month to you?
That's fine. For me, it's interesting because obviously in Argentina, we were not celebrating at all this season. And here, obviously, as immigrants, I feel that I connect more with my roots. Mm-hmm. And I'm just realizing all the contributions that I'm giving to this community or to the society or even to this country. And I think that it's a really good opportunity to celebrate, and we might need to be celebrating every day, right? But it's a special moment, like, of the year to celebrate our contributions, and at the same time this special moment of sharing sharing with the rest of the community and share who we are, what we do, what we like, what kind of food we like, what kind of music we are always listening or dancing. I think that is special. And this exchange, and sometimes language exchange and sometimes culture exchange, but just celebrating all the things that we are doing for our community in general, I feel that that's special. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, it's following what Maru was saying. It's from, I don't think there's any Hispanic country that celebrates the Hispanic Heritage Month.
Really?
In their country, that's not.
It's not.
The way I like to think about this this month and Hispanic Heritage celebration is it's more about sharing what our heritage and our culture is with the rest of the country.
I get that.
And that's why it's very important. But that doesn't mean, you know, in places where it's not celebrated, it's not important. It's completely the opposite, right? This is their culture. This is our culture in each of our own countries. And we are here in this what's the term, this melting pot.
And
we are sharing in this moment. We share with our community on a daily basis, but there is a specific month, and that's, I think, great, where we can hyper-focus our culture and our contributions to our community and to this country in a really fun way, with, you know, mixing all of our aspects of why Hispanic, you know, cultures have, you know, are really good, are fun.
So, do you know if there's any other countries other than the United States that celebrate this month?
I don't know. I've not lived in other countries, and I think that's how I would know. If I lived there, I would probably get to know that.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't think that there is a celebration like here, but I don't think that it's a coincidence, but so many of the different countries, they are celebrating their Independence Day in the same season, the same month, because the dates are combining. But I don't think that it's a fully celebration of the roots of being Hispanic.
I think the timing was selected to coincide with some... by the U.S. to coincide with some... In the independence celebrations from other countries, Hispanic American or Hispanic countries in America.
What's the importance of this month to Hispanics around the world? Not just here, like in Pittsfield, like in the United States, like everywhere.
I think that touches into what we were just talking about. It's more like around the world, as far as they connect to the United States. This is a celebration of these cultures combined into, you know, these are very much different cultures that share deep ties, but so they're very, you can find similarities in all of these. So they share a lot in common, but they're also very distinct on their own, and they're very rich on their own. And having a celebration that mixes them all and hype, you know, focuses on the Hispanic heritage is a good thing, and people around the world could you know, also learn from it if they're exposed to it in the same way.
Yeah, I think that it's a sign of we have something in common. We have the Hispanic root there. At the same time, we are all different, and we can, in between us as Hispanics, learn from all the different cultures, because, yeah, we are different. And even when we all speak Spanish, but also we use different words.
Right.
And that's really interesting to learn from each other. So, yeah.
So, what are some events that happen, like, around the country that people do to celebrate this month?
I think that a lot of, well, as we have here in the Berkshires, festivals, different events related with experiencing the music, the food, the arts. And I think that all those events are that mostly are happening in the whole country, I think.
And I think they also focus on the contributions of these different aspects of our culture into the United States or into the world, right? It's the contributions on the arts and celebrating that, or the contributions in science and medicine. It's celebrating that and the people, notable people in those fields. And they revolve around that. And I think that's important to recognize and to showcase in, you know, in the broader context of the United States.
So let me see where I am. Do you know of any, like, other ways that other people that you know celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month with, like, their families and such?
More than food and and getting together as well. I think that it's a way of celebrating, not just in between, like, with the family, also with the community. I think that it's a perfect excuse to be really intentional during this time to, okay, let's get together and celebrate who we are, and we are kind of having a contentious about what it means to be all Latino or Hispanic. Mm-hmm. I don't know any other ways. I don't know.
Yeah, so I think it's the community coming together. Mm-hmm. It's being next to each other. It's I learned this word recently in a book. It's propinquity, and it's like closeness. So having people close to you, I think Hispanics, Latinos are great. are great at propinquity. I think having, like you said, excuses to be more and do more around that is always good. I'm Hispanic. I also have heritage on multiple parts of the world, mm-hmm. not just like Spain or the melting pot of the Caribbean in this case. Uh-huh. And I love any excuse I can have to deal or eat the food from those other countries. I love Lebanese food and I love Spanish food and Mexican food. So any chance, and of course Puerto Rican food, Argentinian steaks and meats, that's perfect. So it's any opportunity we have to eat and celebrate and dance and party.
It's always good.
It's always an excuse to party.
Yeah. Yes.
I love that. So do you know where this month originated from, like how it came to be?
Yeah, I think it was really from the federal government in the 70s or something like that.
Yeah.
It was first one day or a short period of time, not a whole month.
And then it became a month.
And then again, that excuse, we need to celebrate for more time.
not enough one day.
And then it was, 80s, it was expanded to a whole month. And I think the time was selected to coincide with certain independence celebration, independence days. Mostly from Spain, mm-hmm. Days in Latin America.
Hmm. And it was, I think, more around the contributions of the culture and the people.
The Hispanic community
to the country, yeah.
All right. Why should everyone celebrate this month, even if they don't have Hispanic ancestry?
I think that as a community, we are all part of this country. We are all building this country every mm-hmm. day when we are waking up and going to work and taking care of the kids, taking care of our family. We are all part of this. So all the contributions that we are, it's walk on, and I think that just celebrating part of our community or the culture, because again we are a melting pot here, and so many people who are from other different countries or even Americans, they love tacos, right. So it's actually, I learned a lot from other different cultures being here in the U.S. than before in Argentina. I didn't know about
that exposure. Food.
The exposure of so many different, it's a multicultural country at the end of the day. And I think that we should celebrate not just with the Hispanic roots, but so many others. We need to celebrate who we are at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think it's the same way. Like I enjoy when my friends from around here like to celebrate other types of holidays or celebration weeks or months or whatever, St. Patrick's, and celebrate that heritage. And it's the same. Like I enjoy doing that, not mm-hmm. because I have that heritage. Of course I don't, but uh-huh. I enjoy it because I'm spending time with people that I enjoy spending time with, and mm-hmm. I call my friends, and they're having a great time, and it's their celebration of mm-hmm. their heritage, and they get to share that with us. And I think it's the wonderful part of it, and we get to do that specifically. We can do that any time of the year. I would love to, right? any excuse again to celebrate, but we have some time, specific time that we can highlight those, that celebration.
That's right.
All right. Here's my final question. You guys mentioned that you guys came from Puerto Rico and Argentina, and there are students here at Taconic High School who have the same exact type of situation where they're moving from a different place out of country. So my question is, what advice would you give to those students?
Well, I would say, energy, put energy and effort into the language. Mm-hmm. I think that it's key in order to succeed. Second, take care of your mental health 100%, and trying to find your community, your people, to feel supportive, and look for help if you need help, and don't be shy. And just like think about all the opportunities that we have in this country. There are so many things that when we are coming from a different country, people will tell you always, no, you cannot do that, or you cannot pursue your dreams, or no, that's not possible. There is always a way to do things. This is a lot of opportunities, and just look for it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, even though Puerto Rico is in the United States, the culture and language barriers are there. So second, you know, what you said, Maru, about taking seriously the expanding of your circle and your language and your, you know, how you learn to interact and move around in your community is going to be very important. But I also think it's important to start somewhere, but you know, start, and even if it's small, take baby steps and be persistent and be what's the word I'm looking for? It's never giving up, essentially, on that drive to continue moving forward. There's going to be setbacks. There's going to be times where you can't do something, or you're going to be thrown off the rail on your path, but it's important to, it's when you're ready, when you've taken care of your mental health, like you mentioned, it's picking up again and keep going forward, even if it's baby steps, and persevere following that, you know, passion and following the path you want to be on. You cannot do that without a community, whether that's your family, big or small, whether that's your friends, the family you choose or the family you don't choose, whether that's, you know, the friends in school or friends from outside, it's you will not be able to do that without a community.
All right. Well, that's all I have for you guys. So I would like to take the time to thank Ms. Baduti for setting this whole thing up with Mr. Morales and Ms. Dominguez. I would also like to thank them for taking the time out of their busy days to join us and talk about Hispanic Heritage Month and their job careers. Thanks to our listeners for tuning in on WTBR, Spotify, and whatever you get your podcasts from. If you have any questions for us, feel free to email us at TaconicTV@Pittsfield.net. We hope you'll join us next time for Up on Taconic. Up on Taconic has been a production of Taconic TV and podcast produced at the Taconic Studios in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and this week featured Mr. Morales of Public Utility Works and Ms. Dominguez, an artist and photographer, talking about Hispanic Heritage Month and their respective careers. The show was produced using state-of-the-art Rode podcasting equipment and was taped in October of 2025.